Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 15 on the Roll Around. I am your host, Kayla Zickler. I had such a great time picking Coach Lillian Humphreys' brain about her coaching experiences so far and how she would like to see the women's wrestling coaching field change as women's wrestling continues to grow. Some other highlights on this episode to listen for are, first, for athletes, when you look back at your college career, no matter what year you are, if you're just starting or you're year three or four, when you look back at your college career, how do you want to see it? Coach Lillian is so humble about her college career and so insightful about how she was able to turn her shortcomings into positive experience that she now uses in her coaching. She is able to look past the, you know, I'm doing the air quotes, I didn't achieve my goal exactly, like that feeling of failure. She's able to look past that and see how many lessons she learned while trying to achieve that goal and how she can use those lessons to relate to her athletes now when they don't hit their goals exactly. Another thing to listen for, coaches, is Coach Lillian talks about how she took coaching classes in college and she created a portfolio that she could reference and look back on. I really liked that she acknowledged that even though that portfolio was great and a good solid piece of information and insight, it has changed since she started coaching and has had new experiences. Don't be afraid to let your coaching philosophy grow, change, morph, whatever it needs to do to be a better, more complete version of how you want to coach. I really like that she acknowledged that, yes, I started out this way, but now it has changed, and that is great. This will only help you become a better coach, and it will only help your athletes succeed as well. Definitely grab some note-taking material for this episode. It is full of great things to take note of. Enjoy. Hello, everybody. I have Coach Lillian here with me. She is, drumroll, she's being named head coach at Huntington College, which is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for wanting to be interviewed. I love hearing people's stories, and I'm excited to get to know yours. So this will be fun. Right. We'll jump right in. How did you get into wrestling? Like, from the beginning, how did you get in there?
Yeah, so my dad was a big martial arts guy. He did taekwondo, and he was doing jiu-jitsu when I was growing up, and when I was in about the fifth grade, my dad had seen a story about a college girl who got attacked, and like he had just become a single dad of three girls, and he was super scared that we were gonna, you know, maybe one day need to defend ourselves. So he put us in Krav Maga. So I started out in Krav Maga, and naturally I got into jiu-jitsu. And then when I was roughly the age of 12, I looked at my dad and I told him I wanted to be a UFC fighter one day. And he was like, well, any good fighter is a good wrestler, so you should wrestle when you get to high school. And so I joined my high school wrestling. Yes.
He's smart.
Well, and you know, I don't think I'd be where I am today without him telling me that, because I know I'm a wrestling coach. You know, I got to high school, and I was the only girl on my team all 4 years. I ended up being the co-captain my junior, senior year of a all-boys team. And, you know, we were a rebuilding program at that time, and so I got thrown on varsity as a little freshman, and that's kind of how it all started. And you know, it's crazy how one decision you make in your life changes your entire path, because who knows where I would be if I hadn't never wrestled.
I know, right? I mean, yeah, like you said, one decision can go whole, you know, 360. And where did you, like, where did you wrestle and where did you grow up?
Yeah. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina, so I wrestled at Blue Ridge High School.
Okay. So, yeah.
Near North Greenville University, and those are Furman, where might help some people understand why that's happening.
Yeah. And are they, I'm trying to remember, are they sanctioned now?
South Carolina is sanctioned, but okay. It's kind of still like in this new. Yeah. Like they just, I think this last year was like the first sanction. So,
so event, you didn't have so any of that.
Nope. I was more the pioneer. I mean, I was one of the only girls in the upstate at the time to wrestle. And my very first, I only went to girl state twice because the other two times my team needed me for something else. And my very first time was my sophomore year. And there was only 30 girls in the tournament. And I did win. So I am, you know, a state champ.
There you go.
and then my senior year, there was about 70 girls in the tournament. So, I mean, it did grow and it's continuously growing more and more. But yeah, I was one of the pioneers for that. And
yeah,
it seems like I'm a pioneer for everything. It feels like I start everything.
I mean, most women wrestlers are, I mean, depending on your state, I know there's, you know, Texas, it's been around forever, and California. And but yeah, here on the East Coast, there's a lot of, I wrestled in Virginia, same thing. It wasn't sanctioned there. I'm technically a state champ, but there was no one in my weight class. So, you know, yeah, no, that's awesome. So when did you decide that, hey, I could go to college and I could wrestle? Because you've been wrestling since what, freshman year of high school?
Yeah. You know, it's actually funny because I had made the decision not to wrestle in college, and I was visiting other schools. I visited Winthrop, up in Rock Hill. I'd visited Lees McRae in North Carolina. I walked around App State. Like, I did not make, I mean, I just didn't think that college wrestling was, you know, in my cards. I wasn't sure about that. And I had talked to some coaches, and, you know, some of them kind of explained how the process works and all that. And, you know, I had a phone interview with one coach, and I just didn't, you know, it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel like it was meant to be. And then I was actually working at Hobby Lobby at the time, and I got a text message from a coach in Montana, University of Providence, had texted me, and I was like, oh, maybe this feels right. Like maybe this can be it. And me and my parents flew out to Montana, and
wow,
I loved the visit. It was, I mean, the town was great, and it felt right because my dad's boss, her kids swam, you know, in high school, and they had met this family while they were swimming that ended up moving to the same town the school was in. So it was like, oh my gosh, like this is meant to be. Like we know people out here. Like, and when we visited, we had dinner with them, and it just felt right. And then I was right before signing day. It was like a week before signing day. Coach Cody from Presbyterian called my dad, and because they actually had a mutual. My dad does construction, and he was on a job site, and he just, you know, he brags because I'm the favorite and whatnot. But,
don't tell your sisters.
Right? He was talking to a guy who knew Coach Cody, and he was like, man, you know, you really should talk to him. And so they connected, and Coach Cody was like, look, just let me just come visit, let me offer you something before you make a decision. And I was like, I told my dad, I was like, okay, but I'm signing in 1 week. I need to know.
I was gonna say that's a lot in 1 week.
Yes, but it was amazing. I knew from the moment I stepped on a campus at Presbyterian that that's where I wanted to be. And I was, you know, one of the first girls to be a part of that program. Our first year, where there's four of us, and one girl ended up getting deployed. She was in the Army, and so it was three of us. But I just knew that's where I wanted to be, and I loved Coach Cody and what his goals and his mission was. And, you know, I ended up signing at school with no school because I hadn't made a decision yet. But I told my class, I was like, you know, I'm about to make a decision, but these are my two options. It just felt like, you know, I was doing what I was supposed to do by looking at Montana and trying to go out there. And then a new and better door opened for me right close to home. It was within an hour from where I'm from. And it just was, you know.
That's hard to pass up sometimes.
Yes, it really is. And I was excited. Like, my parents were like, yeah, we get to go see you out. Yes, like, it was going to be fun. But I knew in my heart what was best for me and the better opportunity, so that's what I took. And I do not regret it one bit.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's a great story. That's a lot of twists and turns.
It really is. Well, and the crazy part is I was devastated to have to tell the coaches out in Montana that I wasn't coming because I had told them, I was pretty much had already verbally committed to them.
Right.
And so I had to call them and tell them. And the funny part is that they ended up being my coaches at PC. They ended up taking the job at PC as the women's coaches. So I ended up not losing out at all.
So you ended up with them anyway.
Yes. And it
closer
was
closer to home.
You know, and the wrestling community is so small because my national team coaches in high school were coached by the Montana coaches who ended up being my coaches at PC. And then he was coached by Coach Cody, and it was just full circle and just crazy how small the world really is.
It is. Women's wrestling is so small.
Really?
Super small. So awesome. And you stayed all 4 years?
I did.
How did your college career, how do you feel about it?
You know, I think everybody has, you know, their, you know, what they hoped would happen in college and what really happened in college. Or some people achieve every goal they have. And, you know, I didn't achieve everything I wanted to in college, but I think it makes me a better person who I am today and what kind of coach I am now for the things I experienced in college. It was tough. I ended up having two shoulder surgeries while I was in college, and then a third one after I moved out here to Montgomery. And not that those things, you know, I can't use those things as excuses by any means, but I think it really did take a toll on me, you know, thinking like I wasn't ever gonna be good enough. And those are a lot of feelings I had to deal with and come to terms with and realize that no, there's a lot more to wrestling than just a few obstacles and things. And yeah, I think I'm a better coach for it. And I don't, you know, obviously if I could go back and do everything right, I would, but you know, I don't regret my experience and what I learned and the people I met and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain experiences that sometimes they're unfortunate, but they do help you in the long term. I mean, some coaches weren't injured in college. So when they do have an athlete that is injured, they don't know, you know, how to help. And you do, you know, you had that experience. It's going to be different, but you had that experience and you had to, I mean, the mental part, I think, is the hardest part of being injured. Yes, it hurts, but the mental part and, like you said, having the confidence to go back, like after that, you're like, can I trust it? Can I not? You know, getting over all of that, you have that experience, which, yeah, use that in your coaching for sure.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing about it too, is like, because I tell my girls all the time, I'm like, look, like I know what it feels like not to achieve all my goals. And so I don't want you guys to experience that. And that's why I'm pushing you. And that's why I want you to do these certain things. And I think for some of them, they definitely understand what I mean. And they appreciate me being honest with them. And I'll tell you that, you know, I ended up ending my senior year early to have shoulder surgery again.
Okay.
So my second semester, I didn't finish my career out, but I ended up interning with Coach Cody. Because I interned with Coach Goodyear here at Huntington too, but my last semester of senior year, I interned with Coach Cody and I helped with the team on the coaching side because I knew I wanted to coach. And, you know, I really appreciated the mentorship I got from, you know, Coach Cody and Zach Schaefer and Brian V and everybody on campus. And it definitely helped launch me into here. And it was funny because I didn't expect to be here, but here I am, and it's been 2 years I've been here. It feels that's awesome. Like forever, but then it also feels like I just got here.
No, that's awesome. So what was one of your like highlights of your college career wrestling wise? Like what, it doesn't have to be like a, you know, significant win or anything like that, but like what was one of your highlights that you look back and you're like, that was just awesome. Like that moment, that was just awesome.
Yeah, I think the thing that sticks out to me the most was at the time, I mean, I don't know if it was a rival really, if it was really just friendly banter, but we had a little bit of a rival with Limestone at the time because Limestone was up in Gaffney before they got their program got Ball. And so I remember, so I had a teammate from Texas, and on her forearm, she had the Texas USA wrestling logo.
Okay.
And on my back, I have the South Carolina USA tattoo. And then my another teammate I had, she had the whole USA tattoo on her back. Right.
Okay.
Yep. Yes. And so I remember all three of us had won our matches. And my parents told me they were in the stands, and they had heard some kids, I guess, from Limestone there. And they were like, man, those girls with the USA tattoos are hammers. And it just, you know, it just, you know, we were under the spotlight, and it was just, crowd was going crazy. I had a lot of friends and family there. And it was just one of those moments that stuck out that was really exciting and fun. And yeah. I just laugh every time I think about those guys saying
USA tattoos. That's awesome. No, that's a great memory to look back on. So, talking about coaching, sounds like you knew pretty early on, or at least, you know, towards junior senior year, that you wanted to coach. What influenced you to want to coach?
Yeah, so, you know, in early high school, I thought I was going to go to school to be, I thought I was going to be like a detective. I thought at one point I was going to be a lawyer. You know, I kind of jumped around a little bit, but I actually remember the exact moment I realized I wanted to coach. You know, and I had been helping with wrestling, like, you know, cheering on my teammates on the sidelines, and it was really exciting, and I knew it was fun to do that. I liked, you know, cheering them on and stuff. Well, funny, I'm not a runner. I hate running, by the way.
Same.
And the people that run, they're just a different breed of people.
Same.
So my junior year of high school, I decided – you know, I wanted to pick up a third sport to play in the fall. So I chose cross country. And the only reason I chose cross country was because the coach convinced me. I kind of knew him, and he basically convinced me to do it. And I was like, okay. But then I was kind of mad because he ended up leaving and I got a different coach. But it's fine. So I decided to run cross country. And I remember I hated it, but I liked that I got to stay in shape and I was meeting new people and all that stuff. But I remember we had the end of a workout, and the last thing we had to do is we had to run across the football field. We had to sprint across the football field. And I had gotten across the football field, and I turned around, and there was several more girls that had to run their last sprint. And I remember I was sitting there and I was yelling and encouraging them and trying to push them to, you know, get across the field, even though we were all tired. And
right,
like in that moment, I had like this epiphany or whatever that I was like, man, like I want to do this forever. Like, this is what I want to do. I think I want to coach. And yeah, that's really the moment I knew. And so I had made it very apparent to everybody that I wanted to be a coach one day, and I was going to do whatever I needed to do that. And at the time, I didn't know if college coaching was in my cards. You know, it seems like everything I think that's not my cards ends up being what I end up doing.
There you go.
And so I made sure everybody knew that coaching is what I wanted to do. And I would help coach Team South Carolina sometimes. And, you know, I would meet younger girls and I would end up coaching them throughout college. And then my senior year of college, after I had surgery, I ended up starting a girls wrestling club at Hillcrest High School, which is up in Simpsonville, about 25-30 minutes from PC. And I actually took those girls out to Texas when World Team Trials was out there, and I took a group of them out there and coached them there. And I just knew that's what I wanted to do, and next thing I know, I got the call to come out here. So
right, so that, I guess that's my next question. That's so you knew in high school.
Yeah,
you had that epiphany in high school. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Yeah, like you, I was gonna be a veterinarian. And yeah, then I took chemistry and that whole trajectory changed.
Yeah. That's usually how it goes,
right? So yeah, how did you get to from South Carolina to Alabama?
Yeah, so again, flashback to high school. My senior year, I was on Team South Carolina, and we were getting ready to go to Fargo, and we were having our prep camp, and Coach Matt Oliver, he was the coach at Spartanburg Methodist College at the time, a JUCO in Spartanburg. And he had come to help, you know, do a couple sessions at the camp. And so I knew who he was, and I knew some of the guys on his team. And then he had left that year to come out here to take the men's job out here. And, or I guess, no, that was a year later. After my freshman year of college, we had started the Blue Chip Wrestling Club at PC to, you know, be able to work out in the off season and stuff.
Right.
He had brought down some of his JUCO guys to work out with us a couple of times during our club season. And then that year is when he left to come out here to Huntingdon.
Gotcha.
And so I knew who he was. We were friends on Facebook. And it's actually funny because I'm telling you, things just fall in your lap so unexpectedly. My senior year came around, and I knew I wanted to coach, but I thought I was going to be coaching. I was actually in the middle of getting my insurance license to sell insurance and try to coach at the high school I went to or another high school in the area. And my dad was so – he knew I wanted to coach, and so he was so adamant about, you need to look at college jobs and just see if it's possible. And he had sent me a link. It was a website that had all the head coaching jobs available. And at the very bottom was like probably six schools that were looking for assistants. And in it was Huntingdon in Montgomery, Alabama. And I was like, man, I think that's where that Matt Oliver guy went. And I went and looked on Facebook and I was like, yep, that's where Matt Oliver
sure
is.
Sure enough.
And I didn't think anything else of it. Cause I didn't like, I didn't reach out. I didn't think that that's what was in my cards at the time. And a couple weeks later, I got a phone call, and it was, hey, this is Matt Oliver. Do you remember who I am? I was like, yeah, I know who you are. And I kind of, like, felt it in that moment that I knew what he was about to ask me, and he had, you know, asked me if I was looking to get into coaching, and I was like, well, I mean, yeah. And he was talking to me about it, and I was like, well, let me talk to my family about it and kind of see. And this was right before I was going out to Texas for World Team Trials, and I thought, okay, well, this is the perfect moment to, like, visit because I'm passing through.
Right, and so yeah.
I ended up having, on our way back from Texas, the people I was with dropped me off in Tuscaloosa, and I drove down to Montgomery. I visited the school. I really liked it. I liked all the people I met, and, you know, I ended up...
Yeah, you said yes.
I graduated college, and 2 weeks later, I moved to Montgomery. And
that's amazing.
The rest is history. It's so crazy, like... that, like, stuff like that happens where you see little signs and, like, it's almost like foreshadowing your life and you're like, this is so weird. Right, looking
but
back.
Like in the moment you're not
you don't think for it.
Right.
Right.
It's definitely hindsight 2020 for sure.
Absolutely.
So Huntingdon, their men's team is new as well?
They got started in 2014.
Okay.
We just hit our 10th season of the men's program.
And then it's your second?
So this is technically our first season competing, but the program, we did technically have a program last year, but I just used the whole year to recruit. And,
right.
Because we didn't want to rush. I got hired in June, so, I mean, 2 months is all I had, and wasn't enough time.
No, absolutely not. So, yeah, so you got to Huntingdon and am I saying that right? Huntingdon.
Well, we say Huntingdon. Done. Okay. I try to emphasize the D, but you can say it with a T, but you got to spell it with a D.
D. Okay. Huntingdon. Done. And then you hit the ground running. Like, you started recruiting. What was that first year? What was something that, like, really stuck out that you were like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know this about coaching? And if there's several things, that's okay.
You know, I'm sure there's a ton of things I've learned. You know, I feel like I'm a totally different person since I've started here. But just, you know, we're a Division III school. And so people who don't understand the different divisions, for any division of any sport or for any Division III of any sport, doesn't matter, NCAA does not allow us to give athletic scholarships. So it's all academic based.
Gotcha.
And so I guess the hardest part was, like, you know, as I was starting to recruit and things, like, girls not understanding that, or, like, coaches or even parents sometimes, like, make girls believe that they need to go somewhere for free, like, that they can go anywhere for free. They think that they aren't going to look at you if you can't give them something, and it's like, that's not really how it works. So that was kind of a thing to help educate people on of how the recruiting process and things work. You know, it's one thing if you're the number one recruit in the country, but, right. you know, you're just an average wrestler or, you know, a decent wrestler that's, you know, not top of the recruiting class. Like, you have to look at all your options. And yep. I think it's been hard to sometimes get girls to, like, just see, like, just apply, just
yes, do have your options.
Do your FAFSA and see what each option is going to cost, because sometimes just because I don't give you athletic money doesn't mean I'm going to be more expensive than some of these schools that are giving you $500, you know, like, or whatever, you know, yep. a small athletic scholarship. If you look at the total price, don't look at the price tag, look at the total cost you're going to pay. And that's been a hard part to get people to understand. And, you know, being a new program, that first year was rough because you had a lot of girls who didn't want to, you know, give us a shot because there was – we had no – nothing to look at. There was
– Yeah, you have no history.
Those girls were going to be a part of setting the tone and the standard, yep. and some people don't want to be a part of that. And that was really hard to get by, but, you know, I made do. I mean, I ended up having a decent group for – first year. And
yeah, how many did you have for first year?
So we ended up having 12 total deposits, like, okay. girls came to school, 11 came, and we finished with 10.
Okay, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, not bad at all. And I think as a first year program, we had a very good first year.
I think you're not the first coach to say that the difference between within NCAA, because they're all still competing against each other, it's hard to differentiate. And then, I mean, you switch to NAIA, which is another totally yeah. different scenario. I think it needs to be said more of, look at all of your options. Just because you submit your FAFSA, just because you apply, doesn't mean you're going there. Right. And most coaches understand that. Like, most coaches understand that people are, you know, looking at their options, which you should. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need to find a college that fits you. Absolutely. But, yeah, the NCAA, their women's wrestling, I think that's going to be a huge step, especially as they this next year or 2026. There's one more year.
One more season until it's official.
Until it's official. I think that's going to be, or it should be, a big push to educate everybody on the differences.
You know, and a big thing is, you know, it's not gonna hurt my feelings if you tell me you're not coming to Huntington. Like, I'm not getting every recruit I ever talk to, and that's okay. But a big thing, like, I hope, you know, high school coaches start to teach their athletes is that, you know, communicate. Like, don't just ghost college coaches, because then, like, what if you end up having to transfer and you're trying to reach back out? Well, you ghosted me last time. That really says a lot about your character. It's like, just be honest and say, hey, I have made a decision, or I've narrowed it down and you guys just aren't it. And
I told my recruits that if you choose to go somewhere else and I see you at a tournament and, like, I remember you, recognize, I'm gonna say hi. Like, I'm not gonna, if you're wrestling my wrestler, I might not cheer for you, but, like, I'm gonna say hi. Like, I'm not just gonna be like, oh yeah, they didn't come here. Like, no, that's not, you never, like you said, you never know what's gonna happen. You never know. Transfer portal, all that good stuff. No, that's a great point for sure.
Yeah.
Knowing your options and knowing the differences between the NCAA Division 1, 2, and 3. Especially now that there is going to be, I feel like it's coming, the separation is coming, and I think D3 is going to be one of the first ones, because you guys have more schools.
Yeah, we have, like, I think, like, 50 schools-ish now in Division 3 that have a women's wrestling team, so it's crazy. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's, when I went to college, I wrestled for King. There were, like, 12 schools nationwide. Yeah. Not to age myself, but, like, to see, like you just said, there's 50 D3 schools. Yeah. Like, just Division 3. Like, that's amazing. Amazing.
And there's more schools added every day. Oh, my God.
Every week, there's another one.
All the time, yeah.
So, you decided you wanted to coach pretty early on. Did you take any college courses or go to any, like, seminars or anything you'd recommend if people are looking to get into coaching?
In college, I actually was supposed to have an athletic coaching minor because they didn't have a regular coaching major, or I would have majored in coaching. And I wasn't able to finish it because of how they set it up, and there was a lot of independent studies that you had to do, and they wouldn't let me do multiple at a time, which was my plan, and they didn't tell me I couldn't do that. So,
Of course.
anyways, I couldn't finish my athletic coaching minor, but I did take some coaching classes, and, you know, there was several different classes about several different things. Like, I did an independent study that basically I put together a portfolio of different things, like some goals I had, core values I had, my coaching philosophy, and different things like that that I put together and had my advisor go over. I took a nutrition class on my freshman year, so it was a long time ago.
Still, that's huge.
Yes, those are some definitely good ones that, I mean, some good classes and good material that I still have on my regular computer.
Yeah.
That I can look back at. And because the main class I took was, it was like principles of coaching or some, or a class like that. Right. And so the portfolio I put together, like, she designed it to, so I could have to use later on. And obviously things have changed because, you know, actually being coaching before, you know, actually being coaching now compared to when I wrote it prior to coaching is a little different, but it definitely helps me see where I've come, how far I've come and stuff like that. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you're continuously learning, you know, just as being human. So I think it's healthy that things change.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You get more experiences, you talk to more people, things happen. Yeah, no, it's good to hear that coaches are willing to change their coaching philosophy.
Yeah.
When you hear someone that's like, oh, I've had this for however many years, the flags go up. I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. Do you mind sharing some of your coaching core values?
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like there, you can't just limit yourself to a couple, but like
your top ones. Yeah.
Yeah. But
I mean, we could talk about this for, I would talk about this for hours.
You know, a big thing I really try to focus for myself, as a coach, is personal growth. I think personal growth is huge. And, while I was in college and back in 2019, I worked at, the UFC gym of Greenville during the summer, and the owner of the gym, he was super big on personal growth. And so this is kind of where I got inspiration to really focus on personal growth. So every Friday, the whole staff had to get together for a meeting, and we'd go around the circle and we would talk about how we grew personally that week. Like, maybe you read a book, or maybe you finished a test, or maybe you had a really good workout, or it could have been anything.
Okay.
So it really showed me, like, a lot of the people on the staff was older than me, and, you know, it showed me that none of them stopped growing. Every week they were doing something different to help themselves grow as a person. And so personal growth is a huge thing for me. I think it's super important to realize that you don't know everything, and that it's okay to not have all the answers sometimes, and just being willing to learn and grow in those aspects, whether it's as a coach or as just a person individually. I think it's super important to be focusing on that so that you can be a better coach for your athletes. And because times change and things different, and you got to grow, you know, as your athletes are growing too. So, and then a big thing for me is faith. Like, my faith is super important to me. I would not be here, you know, where I am today without the Lord. And I really make sure that I'm thankful and grateful for every opportunity that's been, you know, awarded to me. And so that's a big thing that, you know, I have to be blessed and be grateful for this so that I continue to thrive and continue to be blessed every day. So, and another big thing for me is optimism. And
I can already, I was waiting for like positivity,
positivity,
some word like that.
Optimism, Coach
you
Oliver.
Scream it, like, yes, without even screaming.
If Coach Oliver watches this, he's going to laugh at me because I talk about being optimistic all the time. Because, like, I think it's super important that even if you think that, especially with recruiting, like, even if you think you're not getting this kid, or you don't think they're going to commit or whatever, like, I feel like it's still so important to, like, still be optimistic, because you really never know. I feel like I would rather be disappointed than have, you know,
regret,
be negative the whole time. Like,
yeah,
I'm a super optimistic person about everything, about life, about coaching, and you know, sometimes it bites me in the butt, but ultimately, like, I'm a happier person for it. And I think in a world of coaching where there is some negativity, sometimes you have people get mad at you, sometimes you have parents make you upset, whatever, like, being optimistic helps you thrive, and I think helps you want to be in coaching longer, in my opinion. Yeah. Negative Nancy's are not my favorite, so optimism is me all the time, and Coach Oliver is going to say something to me whenever he hears this. Yes.
That's awesome. No, I mean, just, we've been talking for a little bit now, and it just radiates off of you. We're not even in the same room, you know? It just radiates whenever you're talking. That's awesome. I think people tend to gravitate towards positive people, even if they themselves are not always positive. They do tend to, yeah. And mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, you're a great example of opportunities come to positive people. They do. Mm-hmm. Very few people that I've talked to want to work with a negative person. Very few. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do need a person like that on your team, yeah. Not to keep you grounded, but to give you the other perspective. Yeah. But I'd say 95% of the time people don't want.
Yes. And as much as, deal with it. Yes, yes. As much as he doesn't want to admit it, I have made Coach Oliver a more positive person, and he doesn't think so, but I catch him all the time, you know, saying things in a more positive way. And I'm like, see, I have a good influence on you. Glad you hired me.
That's awesome. Oh, goodness. No, that's great. And like I said, it just radiates. It radiates from you, it's contagious. You can't help it. So on the recruiting subject, if someone is looking to join your team, what kind of athletes are you looking for?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Division III, you know, mission or motto is really, our grades are really important to us, because at the end of the day, wrestling ends and we want you to have a good education. So great, like someone who works hard in the classroom is super important to us. You know, someone who works hard, you know, it's not about being the best in the room all the time. Sometimes it's literally, I just need 110% of effort from you. Even if it's not, you know, even if you're the slowest one in the sprints, I can tell if you're giving me 110% of effort. And I think that makes, that's really important for a team to have the whole team giving as much effort as they can. So hard work is super important to me. Good grades. You know, I've really pushed good grades on our team. A lot of our girls want to go into a pre-professional program. Like,
gotcha.
I have a pre-vet on my team right now. I have several pre-ATs that want to be athletic trainers. My recruiting class I have coming in, I have several pre-med girls coming in. So it's like, if you want to get into these graduate programs and move on, like, you have to get good grades. So
yep.
Good grades are super, super important. And another thing too is, like, being here because you want to. Like, I'm not holding money over your head. I don't have anything to be like, well, if you don't do this or you get hurt, whatever, I'm going to take your money away. I can't do that. So it's really important to me to have girls here who want to be here and who want to grow and get better. You know, it hurts a team whenever you have someone on the team who just checking boxes, doesn't really care, and doesn't want to get better for themselves or for their team. So really looking for people who want to be here all the time and want to get better. Because, like, the thing is, I can teach you, we can teach you how to wrestle. Like, obviously I want people who have an idea of how to wrestle. I don't, but, you know, at the end of the day, I want good individuals. I want good people who have good attitudes, and, you know, we'll teach you to wrestle as we go if we have to. So,
yeah, I agree. Yeah. it's not that you're taking the easy road, but it's easier to coach someone who wants to be there than to try to convince someone that they want to be there. It's always going to be easier to coach someone that wants to be there. Yeah. And like I said, not that you're taking the easy way out, because that is not always easy. But yeah, when you have someone, like you said, who is just, I could be here, I could not. Yeah. It usually sways one way, and it's harder on the coach to sway them in the way to stay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're someone's partner and, like, you don't really care to be here and they really, really want to get better, like, that also affects them and it affects everybody in the room, because you don't want to get better, so they don't get better. Because, like, I can't get better if you don't get better. And you can't get better if I don't get better. So I think that's super important for us. And, Yeah, like it's really hard on coaches to try to convince you. Like I shouldn't have to. Like you chose to be here. Like that's a big thing we say all the time in our room is, you don't have to be here. You get to be here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who, you know, would kill to have an opportunity to wrestle in college that just can't. They just aren't allowed to have. I mean, they just can't have it. So a lot of people would kill to be in some of these girls' positions. And I think it's really important that they're grateful that they get this opportunity. And they look at every day like I tell the girls all the time, like, it's important to look like this could be your last day wrestling ever. Yeah. Anything could happen. You could never wrestle again. So it's like, would you want your last practice, your last match, whatever, be lazy and like you didn't try hard? Or would you rather like end with a bang, like end going hard? Most of the time, like, you're going to look back on your life and be like, man, I wish I would have done that harder.
Yeah. Even if you don't regret it, there's right. always going to be something where you're like, oh, I could have pushed just that Absolutely. Little bit more. Yep. What are some goals that you set for the team for last year and then some of the goals that they set for themselves last year? And this is a long question. Is there, you know, a session that you do, or how do you get kind of that team goal, team bonding set up?
So me and Coach Oliver sat down and talked about what we think our goals would be for this year, because we really didn't know. We were first year program. So like our big goals were, we wanted to have a 3.5 GPA as a team. We wanted 6 Scholar All-Americans, 6 regional placers, and 4 national qualifiers were our goals. And honestly, we thought we were really reaching, like, with these goals. Like, we thought they would be not necessarily hard to obtain, but with the amount
those
of girls.
Those are tough.
Yeah, like, with the amount of girls we had and almost all freshman team, we thought these were going to be tough goals, but we were excited to, like, you know, strive for them, have something to look forward to. And we actually ended up having first semester, we had a 3.63 GPA as a team. And second semester, we had a 3.67.
That's amazing.
GPA. So we surpassed our GPA goal as a team.
Yeah.
First semester, we had 4 4.0s. This semester, we had 2 4.0s. So that's super important to us. We ended up having 9 Scholar All-Americans.
Oh, my gosh.
10 girls we had. So that was a big one.
That's big.
And then we had 7 regional placers, which is top 8. And then we had 2 national qualifiers, which is top 4. So, you know, I was super excited because I didn't know what was going to happen this year. We were kind of winging it as we went. And the fact that we, you know, exceeded almost all but one goal was really huge for a first year program. And it really set the tone for what next year's going to be, because we're doubling in size next year. As of today, I have 22 girls that will be on roster next year. So, you know, from 10 to 22, it's a lot, and it's awesome. I'm excited. And, you know, those goals we achieved, a lot of the girls. So what I did was, I think, like, goals are super important. It's good to write them down. It's good to understand why you have those goals. So I sat down with the girls, and I had printed out a sheet, and it basically said, all right, what's your goal? What's your long-term goal? Like, that you want to achieve before you graduate from here.
Okay.
And what's your short-term goal that you want to achieve this season? And then I had, like, things like, all right, what is something that is you can do today to help you achieve these goals?
Okay.
What is something you can do this week or this month that can help you achieve this goal? And then what is something you can do this season to help you achieve those goals? And then I also asked, like, what's something that's holding you back from achieving this goal?
Right.
Because I think it's very important we are transparent with ourselves and we understand, like, what is preventing us from getting there. Like, are you someone who's super, like, a big procrastinator? Are you someone who's just kind of lazy and you don't, like, you need to find a little bit more motivation, or, you know, or you someone who parties a lot. I mean, who knows? Like, for everybody, it's different. What is that thing that's holding you back that you need to address so that you can start to achieve your goals? And so we sat down and we did those. And at the very bottom, I had the girls switch with somebody.
Okay.
Had to read each other's goals, because I thought it was really important. Like, if I know your goal is to be a national champ, but you're eating McDonald's for dinner, like, I need to know, like, hey, is that gonna, like, get you to that?
Hey, can, like, we switch and go somewhere better. No, I mean, right. not completely hating on McDonald's, but you know.
No, I just, you know, McDonald's here and there, like whatever, yeah. but you know, you shouldn't be eating it all the time, especially during the season.
Oh yeah, you need fuel.
That's... Well, it's important, like that your teammate knows what your goals are so that they can help you and to keep you accountable and stuff. And then I had them write each other something, like write a motivational quote or write a verse or write a little note to them so that, and then I taped them all inside their locker so they had to look at them every day.
That's so awesome. Yeah, that's I love the switching the team. Oh, that's, I might kind of steal that.
Yeah.
I'm taking that one away. That's great.
I think it's super important to be able to like, I need to, it's one thing to say your goals and like, right. maybe writing down and stuff them in your desk, but like another thing to see your goals every day.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, I'm going into practice. I'm having a really crappy day. You open your locker, you're like, oh, but my goal is this, so I'm gonna have a better practice today, or whatever.
This month, or yep.
Or you have a little thing from and you have like a little motivational thing from a teammate if you are having a bad day. Yeah. Read your notes from your teammate, and that should help you, you know, give you a little boost for the day.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
So a lot of them had different goals. I mean, some of them, there was a few that just wanted to get better, that just wanted to improve on their wrestling. Some wanted to be All-Americans, and some wanted to be national champs and Olympic champs and all that stuff. And so it was a wide range of goals. But yeah, I think it's cool to really have someone else on the team that understands what you want to do and be able to keep you accountable to help you achieve those.
So with you doubling in team size, do you see, not to give away your secrets or anything, are you going to continue that like same structure, or you have something new, or
So I mean, and you have, I'm glad you asked.
You have history now, like you have, you know, your base kind of.
Yeah, I definitely have an idea in my head. I've talked to one of my girls about, and so basically next year I'm going to do the same thing where we tape their goals in their locker. I'm still going to do that. But this next year, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to pair the girls up, like a freshman and an older girl together, kind of do like a mentorship kind of thing where, you know, if you don't know something, you don't know what to wear to practice, or that's, you know, something, you can ask your mentor, or maybe you can have lunch together every Monday, or you know, something to help bridge the gap between freshmen and returners. Because I think sometimes on teams that there is kind of a, oh no, we don't want these freshmen, they're going to come take our spots or whatever, like kind of bridge that gap. And I was hoping that what it will also do is, you know, because a big thing that we as a team struggled with, because we were mostly all freshmen, was being able to keep our teammates accountable in practice. Because, I mean, like, some of them were fine at it. I mean, some of them can, they'll check you quick. But the majority of us, some of us are quiet. Some of us aren't as comfortable being like, hey, you need to do this kind of thing.
It's confrontation.
Or that's acceptable. Yeah, it is. And so what I'm hoping with this mentorship, that what it will do is the returners will be more comfortable, you know, telling their mentoree what to do or what not to do. And the mentoree will be more comfortable taking the criticism or the direction from the returner that is their mentor.
There's more of a bond.
Yeah, that's what I'm
understanding.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of hoping will happen. And if it doesn't work, you know, we'll just scrap the whole idea. But I really do think it will, you know, make a big difference for us. And it will just give some, like, there's some girls coming in who don't know anybody on the team. So it'll also give them kind of a new friend to be able to talk to and hang out with and for a little bit. Again, I also hate when I put something in our group chat and then I get the question asked to me. Like, if I type in, practice is at 5:00. And then I get a text message, coach, what time is practice? My gosh, I just said it. So I'm also going to be like, look, you have to ask your mentor before you come ask me. You can't ask. Don't ask me.
There's always.
Always one or two or three. Yeah.
There's always those kind of people, but there's always those people.
Yeah.
And I try my hardest not to be one of those people. Yeah. No, I think that sounds awesome for anybody who hasn't chosen you know, college yet and you're interested and really gravitate towards, you know, the mentor kind of style, here you go. Program right here. I mean, it's been done for other programs that have been really successful. Yeah, no, that sounds great. And yeah, best of luck. You're going to learn a lot. Pairing people is always, you don't know until you know. To kind of wrap up a little bit, we could talk for a long time. I really enjoy talking with you. This is great. But kind of wrap up a little bit. As women's wrestling grows, what is something that, and you don't have to do all of them, what is something that you hope to see change, to start, or to stop?
Yeah, a big thing, the most important thing is definitely the weight cutting that, you know, I even heard Coach Brian talk about on his episode when he was on. Yeah. It's super important. But a big thing for me that I would love to see different is, like, coaches and more women coming out and coaching and staying in the sport longer after they graduate and after they're done competing, I think is super important. I actually pulled some statistics just because I think it's really interesting to hear. And this particular statistic is not wrestling specific. It's all women's sports in the NCAA. But in 1972, prior to Title IX, over 90% of women's collegiate sports were coached by women. Over 90%. That's a lot. That's huge.
We're
coached by women. Women's sports were coached by women. There was over 90%.
Before Title IX?
Before, yes.
Okay.
And then,
just making sure I hear it correctly, because that's surprising.
That's a lot. I didn't see it at all. And then over 50 years later, 2022 to 2023, it had already decreased to 41% of women's teams in the NCAA were coached by women. So that's four out of every 10 teams in the NCAA are coached by women.
Wow.
And then in the youth level, only 26% of teams on the youth level is coached by women.
Wow.
And I actually looked, and for women's wrestling, it's only about 23% of NCAA women's wrestling teams are coached by women. And the NAIA is even way less.
Yep.
And JUCO is almost none.
Right.
So I think it's really important that as women's wrestling is growing, girls are graduating. Like, it's super, I feel like it's super important to try to encourage them to stay in the sport, give back, and coach. And I get coaching's not for everyone, and that's totally fine. But, like, I know almost every girl on my team this year, like, has never been coached by a woman before until they came here. And they have seen a huge difference in the way me as a woman coaches and the way Coach Oliver as a man coaches. Not that there's anything wrong with having a male coach. That's not what I mean. I just mean it's, you know, we're in this sport. Like, I really hope, like, one day we can elongate people's careers in the sport and hope that they continue to coach and inspire other young women and have an influence on women's sports altogether. I think it's super important. So that's my big thing.
No, that's great. No, that's awesome. I mean, I might be a little biased, but I'm in your boat. I'm in there. And that's a great thing to end on too, is, you know, if you even have an inkling that you want to coach, try it.
Right.
We're
on the hunt for an assistant now, and we're hoping to be able to hire another woman, but, you know,
there you go.
We're not limiting it to women, but we do hope another woman on staff. It would be really great and awesome.
That'd be awesome. Oh, power team.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being interviewed. And oh my gosh, this episode is full of great things. I'm so excited to, when I edit, I like re-listen to the whole thing so I can, you know, edit. And it's really awesome to like, oh yeah, she did say that. And like, I'm like taking notes as I'm editing. So, but yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time, and I can't wait to see what you guys do this season. I'm super excited for you.
I'm ecstatic. I mean, I cannot wait. And we have some good hammers coming in, so I'm excited.
Well, awesome. Yeah, I'm sure I'll talk to you again. I'm sure I'll.
Yeah,
those stats are great. We'll have to do an episode or something on that.
I can send you the link if you want to have the whole, because it, like, in the website, it then had like another link to the statistics where they got it from. So
okay. No, that would be great, because we could do a
whole episode. It was a lot of statistics too, so
yeah,
that was just the main ones.
Well, thank you so much. What? Sorry.
I really appreciate you having me on. It was super awesome. I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah. No, thank you. It was great. And yeah, I will talk to you next time.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening. It was so awesome to get to know Coach Lillian and hear her background and how she's using her experiences to be a great coach. I'm really excited to see not only what her team does, but, you know, the things that she has planned and is going to put in place, how they work out. And congrats to her again for being named head women's wrestling coach at Huntington College. It's phenomenal. It's so exciting to see women coaching in the sport. Here are some of my insights into the episode in case you didn't catch them the first time while you were listening. For parents and athletes, make sure you do your research on the differences between NCAA divisions. All three divisions have different criteria versus NAIA versus JUCO, junior college. It's very important, especially on the financial aid scholarship side, to know who can give out what and why. There's a big misconception. I see it all the time on women's wrestling forums of the expectation to, air quote, get a full scholarship to wrestle. Not saying that full scholarships aren't available. It's just more often, I would say 75% of the time, you're going to get what's called a scholarship package. This will include not only any wrestling money you may get, but any federal money you may get, academic scholarships, other scholarships the school might offer. There's usually the expectation that you'll pay a little bit to get there. So make sure you check to see also if the school will let you stack your athletic and your academic scholarships. Some schools won't let you do that. Some schools make you choose between athletic and academic. And the financial aid part of college differs from college to college. It's not as universal as some people may think. So make sure you do your research on the front end. And then when you do decide on a college, take the time to let the other colleges that were interested in you know that you've chosen to go somewhere different. It may seem tedious. It's sometimes an uncomfortable conversation. It can be time consuming, but it's really appreciated by the other coaches, and you never know who you're going to run into down the road. Of course, you know, when you choose a college, you want it to work out. You want to have an amazing, you know, 4 or 5 years at that college, but that's not always the case. So make sure you take the time to let the other college coaches know that you chose somewhere else to go. And it doesn't have to be long. It can be right to the point, but it shows good character, and you should really take the time to let them know. On a personal level, some exciting news. I've mentioned probably a couple times on or in the episodes that I'm pregnant with our second son. We are so excited. He and the doctors decided this week that his introduction to the world will take place sooner than my due date, which was more towards the end of May. So I'm being induced next week, which means I'm going to take a couple weeks off recording episodes for this podcast to get to know my son and explore some new family dynamics as a family of four. Again, I'm so excited. I always joked around when I was younger that I'd be a boy mom, and, you know, here I am. So everything is good with me and him so far. The doctors are just being cautious, which I appreciate. So thank you for all the support that has already been given. I know as soon as I don't have an episode to edit that I'll miss it terribly. So I'm sure during those 2 weeks, I'll be reaching out to set up some interviews for when I get back, and doing some research on other cool episode topics to talk about. So if you have anything, please let me know. I'll still be checking social media. I'm sure I will have some little bit of downtime to check that. But stay tuned to see some updates of the newest fan of the Roll Around podcast.